Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. You know how it goes. Your smart speakers, wherever you get your podcasts. Key, this is what I want to know this morning.
One more day until Friday?
Have you given up on your Dodgers like you did the other day when they were losing late in the game and I told you, relax. I gave you the Aaron Rodgers, relax.
Yeah, but I don't listen to you when it comes to that type of stuff.
That's
Max.
The problem. Just, I'm trying to help you.
I can't listen to a person tell me to relax when we're down and we're trying to make a comeback.
R-E-L-A.
That's crazy, man.
But they did make the comeback. They're down 3-1. How are you feeling now? They're down one, you know, down two games. How you feeling?
Cool.
No, you're not.
I'm cool. We have to figure out some things. We've lost a few players, and so now we got to figure it out. I think we have enough depth to get through it. We're only 3-1. We got this game tonight at home, and we go to Atlanta for 2 to close it out. That's the mentality that we have to have.
That's the. By the way, Jay, I'm with him. If the Dodgers win and it's 3-2, after 5 games, every series ever played was 3-2 one way or another. Who cares how you got there? 3-2 is a winnable series. Yeah. Obviously, they have to win tonight. It's a must win. But they can still win.
I didn't think Julio would go to the mound and give up 3 straight jacks. I just, in fact, the jacks were not giving up in one side of the field. He cleared all 3. He went center, left, and right.
They had power to everywhere.
I'm like,
yeah. You see, Max, I look forward to when the Dodgers lose because I get a chance to hear Key's morning monologue where he's talking to you, but in reality he's talking to himself. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like when he goes on
like
his thing,
fan,
you can see Key at home just talking to himself, watching the game, just angry at it. I enjoy it. Plus, I don't want to see another dynasty built in L.A. Like,
it's
LA's
already too
enough.
Late for that, brother.
You just want the Lakers. You want the Dodgers. Like,
well, we can potentially have what would be the hat trick because we can get the Lakers, the Dodgers, and the Rams.
I mean, if
I'm not a Ram fan, but it's L.A.
But if you get into 3 World Series in 4 years and you win one, it's kind of a dynasty already.
I know.
And they're in the NLCS now. They're in the middle of one.
Yeah, we're good. I just didn't. Well, tonight will probably be a bullpen night. Then we get Max Scherzer back in Atlanta, and we'll see.
By the way, losing Justin Turner, you lose Muncy, and you lose the corner of your infield. That's a big shot.
Well, Muncy's been gone for a minute now.
Yeah, but I'm saying now you don't have
Bellinger,
your first baseman or your third baseman.
Bellinger's there, but the problem with taking Bellinger out,
him around.
We got to now move our outfield, put Gavin Lux ass out there who drops balls like it's nothing. I mean, it's just hey. Let's move on.
Bellinger clutch, though.
Nothing to talk about. We don't need any SportsCenter highlights.
There are no highlights today on the SportsCenter
show. Only lowlights. SportsCenter lowlights are brought to you by.
And then what's so bad about it, though, is it was 9-2. So it really looked like we got smashed.
It was an ass whooping,
It looked like we got smashed. Yeah. It was just nothing you could do, man.
Yeah, that's right. It is true what you said about Key is you can, like every fan, they have their own process of grieving or coping with anxiety, right?
Well, at least, look, you know how it is. You spend money. You spend all your money. I spend a little bit. I still have some to spend. You don't have any because the Yankees are nowhere to be found.
That's true.
In fact, they're still trying to figure out how to build a team compete.
No need to, push other people down to build yourself back up.
No, I'm not pushing anybody down. They already down.
That's
I'm
true.
Well, no need to kick
they
us
can't, you
just while
win.
We're down.
Jay, yeah, I'm just Jay, already stepping on you.
You can't win the World Series every year. They've won it 27 times, but you can't win it every year. That's true.
Yeah,
he's
all
right.
The history with 1922 and all. I don't want to hear that. I don't mean anything. Yeah. Well, they won with so-and-so in 1922. The best team that America's ever found in baseball. I don't want to hear that. That doesn't mean anything.
That was 27. And by the way,
that was 27.
It was 98. It was 1961 and 1998, and there's been plenty of them. 2009 was pretty good, too. All right, look.
Lost your train of
where
thought.
Where are we going?
Yeah, lost
where
my
are we
train
going
of
right
be
now?
Be a part of KJM Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed or call in line 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. By the way, college football's back, so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Okay, so what a lot of the American sporting public's eye was on last night were the 76ers because of all the drama surrounding Ben Simmons and the team. The Sixers beat the Pelicans last night, obviously without Ben Simmons. Want to hear what Doc Rivers had to say about the whole situation? Because Simmons ain't there. Doc, what's up?
Yeah, I think, like, and I keep saying that, I think for them they've been normal. The only abnormal part is when they have to talk to the media afterwards and they're asked questions. But they've been great. I'm telling you, you can't see it, obviously, because you're not in the practices. But for them, it's about playing basketball and growing together, and they've done a great job of that.
I can believe that, Jay.
That's why you keep Ben Simmons away. Stay away. Doc, even, you know, we cut off that sound, but the next part of that sound is him saying they focus on basketball because every day they have to answer questions about Ben Simmons. You heard Joel Embiid say after the game last night, we got a chance to go out to dinner. We got a chance to spend time talking about life as teammates. Every other time I've traveled on the road, I go into my hotel room, I order food, and I play video games. Like, that's the leader of your team, right? So for the first time in Joel Embiid's career, you're telling me they did a team bonding experience on the road where he actually got a chance to say, oh, it feels like this is my team now, and we can kick it, we can know each other? That speaks volumes about where they're at.
Do you think they talked about Ben at all at dinner?
1,000. Key, you already know where it is, Key. That's going to be the one. Ben Simmons is going to be the one thing to bring them together.
Negatively or positively that they talked about him?
Probably negatively.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
100%. And Jay is right. He's not going to be a part of the team. This whole – everybody's sitting around waiting to see if he's going to be in the arena – when they go home and play at home, it's not going to happen. Because if it does, then they're stupid.
Right.
Because all you're doing is bringing extra attention to your organization that you don't need. Jay is right. Send him on a trip until it's done. Let him go. Whatever the number is, the money's the money, whatever. Don't get caught up in that. Because you have a good team right now that could potentially make some noise. But if you start to get caught up in the distraction part of Ben Simmons, and if he's around – what's going to happen? People are going to ask. But if he's gone, you get one dev asking. That means that he's now gone, Max. He's somewhere else. Hey, Max, what do you think about what happened with Ben Simmons? Yeah, we were moving forward, blah, 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 blah. He's
worried gone. About who's here.
We're worried about who's here. That's it. Because you can't keep asking that same question.
There's an old expression, don't throw good money after bad. Or maybe I flipped that around, bad money after good. But the point is, a lot of this is like, well, you don't want to give him up for nothing. You should get something for him and this and that.
I am going to get something.
Yeah, eventually. But at this moment, maybe don't throw good money after bad. Right? Like, I think you're right, guys. You say you stay over there.
Yes.
Not only is the team rallying around him, but Jay, you said a word before about Embiid. For the first time, really, he can look around and say,
it's mine.
This is my team. And a team will take on the personality of the leader sometimes. And Embiid has an outgoing, kind of gregarious, fun-loving personality, at least publicly. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens now as a result of Ben Simmons' absence and Embiid's undisputed ownership of the situation.
And you watch Joel, over the last 2 years or so, start to take steps towards that maturity, right?
Yeah.
When Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal, all those guys, they challenged him. He fought back and responded to them about it. He played well last year in the playoffs, dominated, right? Finished number two in the MVP voting.
Only because he missed games. Otherwise,
exactly,
he'd have been number one.
Or he would have got it, right? Yeah. So all these things are trending in the right direction for the mentality you want to see Joel Embiid have. I don't want to do anything to hinder that growth for Joel Embiid.
No doubt. Why one NFL quarterback could be heading south. But is that the right move to make? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
The Houston Chronicle's John McClain is reporting that the Dolphins and Texans are nearing a trade for Deshaun Watson. However, ESPN Dolphins reporter Marcel Louis Jacques tweeted, NFL landscape is fluid, but in regards to trades involving the Dolphins, Tua Tagovailoa and Deshaun Watson, a source close to the situation texted me, quote, rumors are false, end quote. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Here's Adam Schefter on the likelihood of a Texans-Dolphins-Deshaun Watson trade.
We are closer to the trade deadline, 13 days away. And so if there were a deal that were going to happen, it would have to come this or next week. And these two sides have had discussions. And at various points, various people have thought a deal is going to happen, only to not have it happen. And again, you're going to have three different parties sign off on this deal because Deshaun Watson has no trade. So he'd have to be good with going to Miami, which I think he would be. The Dolphins would have to be good with what they'd be giving up. And the Texans, of course, would have to be good with the compensation they'd be getting back. Look, a Dolphins-Texans deal has been in play all along. John McClain has said it could happen this week, and that's certainly possible. We'll see the timing on this right now. But this is something that's also been out there for quite some time.
Tua's not stupid. You know, when reports come back and say, hey, these rumors are false, everybody knows, including the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, that they're trying to make some kind of deal for Deshaun Watson. I just wanted to state that. Everybody makes it seem like, oh, well, these rumors are false because we want to save face with Tua just in case. We don't want him to think that this, you know, looming ability of a trade is on the table. Everybody knows this has been on the table for the entirety of this offseason.
Yeah, and what I would say to rumors, trades, whatever the case may be, Marcel may have his own sources within the Miami Dolphins organization that he believes and trusts in. So he would say, as a reporter in that particular area with that team, is that the individuals that he speaks to say the rumors are false. Obviously, the Miami Dolphins, with Tua having to have to play this weekend, the distractions he don't need. So to quiet those down, I get it, I understand it. But when you talk about John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, who has been in Houston for as long as I can remember covering the Houston Texans, he has his sources in Houston as well. So, you know, you're going to always get whatever from the organizations in this situation. And then you got Adam Schefter right there talking about these conversations have certainly taken place. When that was, we don't know. There was no date put to it. But whether or not Deshaun Watson actually gets traded by the trade deadline to the Miami Dolphins, there is a lot of boxes that have to be checked prior to that, which means that Stephen Ross, who is the Miami Dolphins CEO and owner of the team, has to get checked that box off to start with Jay and Max.
Now, first, when you say let's back up just a little bit. Because of the allegations of, was it up to 22 different women that he met on Instagram as massage therapists? 22, I believe it was up to, made allegations about unwanted advances from Deshaun Watson. As a result of that, is an outstanding legal and obviously ethical and moral issue, right? There could be feelings about, first of all, it's unresolved, so you don't know if and when he's going to play. And secondly, people may have an issue with him coming to town. So when you say check boxes, Key, you mean the owner, obviously every owner has to check a box, but who else
has
to?
Well, not every owner doesn't have to check a box. Okay. Sometimes the authority goes to the president or the general manager of the team because the owner is off hands in professional sports.
But not in this case.
In this case, because of the severity of what we are dealing with, the owner has to check the box. The owner is married. She has to check the box, the wife. They probably have kids. I don't know if they have kids, but let's assume he does. His kids are probably going to have to check the box because they don't want to hear from their friends, why would your dad do this? Then you go down to the president of the team, the general manager of the team, his family. All of these boxes need to be checked before you even get to the head coach to check the box that he wants to bring this particular distraction into the locker room. Now, look, do I anticipate Deshaun, if he is traded, to play quarterback for the Miami Dolphins this year, if he's traded by the trade deadline? No, I don't anticipate that. But it's like an investment in this case, in this situation. You're done with Tua. You're done with it. So you're moving him. Jacoby Brissett could take you through the rest of the season until your star quarterback is cleared or whatever is worked out to a situation that he can now get back on the field for you. Because the last thing you need is to bring Deshaun into the locker room and have distractions not only in your locker room but also on the outside, where there are going to be groups and people that will be there picketing and all the women's rights and all the different things that come with this sort of situation. Right or wrong, public opinion is one thing. And you have to be able to look at that as an organization and also have the right people in place in the organization to give Deshaun the necessary guidance and help that he will need. An organization has been pretty good at doing things like that, the Philadelphia Eagles. They went under Andy Reid. They had to make a calculated decision on whether or not to bring in different situation to a degree, but kind of, you know, the same, where you had an off-the-field issue with Michael Vick. They had to make a calculated decision, Jay, to bring in Michael Vick and make a decision. Hey, can we handle the pressure that's going to be coming from the outside in?
There are a couple of things, Jay, and then I just – number one, Michael Vick had paid his debt, so to speak, right? He had an
didn't matter, though.
But the difference here is none of this has been resolved. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. And I would say this. People's past behavior will have an impact on their future opportunities. But I would say it doesn't mean you just throw them away, right? Second chances are important, depending on the severity of what they did. And let's find out all that happened. But that's unresolved. So to me, Jay, the thing that I would look for here in terms of what Miami, how they're forecasting what's going to happen with those issues is, honestly, sounds bad, but like, what are they willing to give up for Deshaun Watson? If it's Tua and a first-round pick, they have reason to believe that Deshaun Watson will be able to play again in the not-too-distant future. If it's Tua and a sixth-round pick or something, then they think, we don't know, but this is worth a lottery ticket from their point of view.
Key, if you're Stephen Ross, you're the owner of the Miami Dolphins, and you do make this move, you make this gamble on Deshaun Watson, you obviously know that's going to, you know, once this trial period starts, accusations start getting out there, people start talking about it more and more, you start hearing from the women individually and their stories. How do you manage that? How would you manage that as an owner for Deshaun Watson and for your team, all the distractions that would come along with that?
Well, first of all, you got to have the right people in place, right? So to start with, I'm spending whatever it's going to cost from an investigation standpoint on my own team of investigators to do their due diligence to bring it back to me and my people so we can look it over and make an educated decision on whether or not we move forward with this. On top of that, now you have to have the right people from a crisis management standpoint in your building that can handle the particular backlash and fallout. And that's what I spoke to a little while ago, is that there's going to be this. And I understand Max is saying that the Michael Vick paid his debt to society. No, it doesn't matter. Does not matter, because people still felt a certain way about what happened with the dogs and how they were treated. And also just dogs and animals. And they went nuts. These are human beings and women.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a different situation. Are you willing as an organization to take on the potential fallout from that? I mean, it's not like all men are your fans and all men are only the ones in the stadium and working for you. You have women that are in the building that are serving and working under your guidance.
By the way, real quick, because we gotta move on, but
we gotta pay some bills.
We gotta pay some bills, Key. You know how
please,
that goes.
Please don't use that 1965 radio.
We have to pay some bills here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Back after this. You're right that people still felt a certain kind of way about Vic. My point in making the distinction is simply that there was due process there. He actually did jail time. The whole thing. In this case, nothing has been resolved. That's the distinction I'm making. It is unresolved.
All fair points.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Coming up next, the Cleveland Browns might get burnt without Baker. We'll tell you why tonight's game versus the Broncos is so crucial for them.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
It is time. You hear the music. You know what that means.
What does it mean?
It means it's time for the no huddle. All right. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN. It's two. It's time to go to no huddle. The Broncos and Browns play tonight on Thursday Night Football, but the Browns will be without Baker Mayfield due to a torn labrum. How are the Broncos reacting to not having to face Baker? Here's ESPN Broncos reporter Jeff Legwald.
Broncos believed one of two scenarios would likely play out with Baker Mayfield given the nature of his injury. They believed he would either not play, as is the case Thursday night, or they believed he would not be able to finish the game. So they have done plenty of work on what they believe the offense will look like with Case Keenum behind center. And there are at least three Bronco defensive starters, Von Miller, Justin Simmons, and Shelby Harris, who were with the Broncos in 2018 when Keenum was the quarterback. So they know him well.
Key, do you believe him? Do you believe that they're really preparing for Keenum? And if so, how does that affect you preparing, especially on a short week?
Well, you always prepare for the backup quarterback, the backup players. It's a depth chart. That's why it's there. You look at the first team, the second team guys, and you're prepared because you just never know, especially with an injury to Baker Mayfield who could – what if Baker Mayfield starts and couldn't finish the game and Case Keenum comes in? There's going to be a certain package of plays if Case Keenum was not – accustomed to this offense. Here's the caveat to that, though. He led the Minnesota Vikings into the playoffs several years ago
when he was
the quarterback as the backup when Sam Bradford was injured. So
with who on the coaching staff, by the way?
Kevin Stefanski. And so with that being said, you prepare for him because he knows the system. This is not a package of plays for a guy. This is the entire playbook.
Yeah.
Let me say this. Let it happen tonight that OBJ decides to play. And him and Case Keenum actually have chemistry. All the guys out for the Browns, they find a way to win this game, and they find chemistry.
It will be Baker Mayfield to the Miami Dolphins, or Baker Mayfield Denver Broncos, or Baker Mayfield to the Detroit Lions, or Baker Mayfield.
It'll be all of that. Great fit, is there? Yeah, look. We're going to get back to
that. You guys got me selling stuff. I feel so dirty.
We're not getting back to that.
That just doesn't – I need bleach after that conversation.
Guys, there are
– all over my body.
You need to get clean. There are questions surrounding Bridgewater's future in Denver. Are the Broncos going to be in on the chase to land Aaron Rodgers? Here's Jeff Legwald with more.
Well, most everybody knows the Broncos did dip their toe in before the draft on Aaron Rodgers. They made at least one call and were told quickly by the Green Bay Packers. Rodgers was not on the market, so they left it at that. But this is a team that will have a quarterback decision at the end of the season, given Teddy Bridgewater is on a one-year deal, and they will have plenty of cap space. And if Rodgers is indeed on the market, the Broncos will certainly take a look.
Denver, the most likely landing spot for Aaron Rodgers, Key?
You know, it's interesting because this was the conversation in the offseason leading into the draft or after the draft and leading into the summer that Aaron Rodgers could potentially be a landing spot. Denver could potentially be a landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. I don't know. Okay, I'm tired of talking about it because I really don't know. I believe if the Green Bay Packers win the Super Bowl, he's still staying in Green Bay. If they come up short, he probably will be on the move. Quarterbacks that win Super Bowls don't leave. Quarterbacks that get the Super Bowls and they don't want to pay them, Neil O'Donnell-ish, Pittsburgh Steelers, leaves. This situation is a little different, but that is a landing spot. The Miami Dolphins, if things don't go right with Deshaun Watson in a potential trade before the deadline, that's a landing spot. Whatever happens at Oakland or Las Vegas, that could be a landing spot. So there'll be four or five teams that open up. And Aaron Rodgers will be
Niners,
looking at
Niners, I'm telling you, that's the sleeper for me is the Niners.
There's another one that could potentially
because
be
I always wonder, Trey Lance, does that have something to do with they believe if they don't love in Green Bay, maybe they'll like Trey Lance after a year or two? Jay, is Denver a landing spot for him?
I mean, all you got to do is listen to the Pat McAfee show and listen to when Aaron Rodgers drops little hints here and there. I honestly don't know. I'm like, Key, I have no idea. I think there are a couple, Denver, San Francisco. I also started thinking about this last night, too. If you're not sure about what's going on in Baker Mayfield, and I'm not sure how cap-restrictive they are, but if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're looking at weapons. You're like, man, I got all the weapons in the world in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't Cleveland be somewhat of a choice?
Because he may prefer living in Denver over Cleveland. But I'll say this. I'm rooting. I'm rooting, guys, for the Broncos just because I need to see a division with Rodgers, Mahomes, Herbert, and Derek Carr all in. I got to see it. I want to live to see that, right? Like, oh, my God, you know how absurd that is, the quarterbacking in one division? Because there'd be never, ever a division like that before in the history of football.
Would you want
not with all four.
Would you want to be in a division like that?
I was in a division like that, wasn't I? No, not really, huh?
No. And but, also,
but
you
make the choice to
you didn't
go
have the
to
quarterback
Chicago,
either.
Chicago, no. I mean, it doesn't really matter. Can they win? That's all that really matters. I don't give a damn about what a stack. The North, the AFC North is strong, except at the back end of it, you got Ben. Yeah. Because you got Burrow. Well, Baker was doing all right, but then all of a sudden that kind of went south.
It's not that strong,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, no, it's not that strong. But I was trying to think the AFC. I was in there with Jim Kelly.
No, in a division, though.
I'm saying I was in the division with Jim Kelly, but my Dan Marino.
That's up there. But who was your quarterback?
Neil O'Donnell was, but Neil O'Donnell had just went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Neil O'Donnell could play. Yeah,
and then Drew Bledsoe was in New England.
That's pretty good.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. That's I'm like, wait a minute.
Well, you know what?
I gotta
rethink that because Marino and Kelly in the same division.
Marino,
you're right.
Kelly, Bledsoe, all three of them had been to the Super Bowl.
But is that the same as Rodgers, Mahomes, and Herbert?
Think of what I just said, though, Max.
I, you're right. It's giving it run.
Two Hall of Famers. Three quarterbacks that had four quarterbacks. Hell, all of them in the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl is
Think
true.
About it. Bledsoe
it's
went to the
insane.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Kelly, four Super Bowls. Marino, Super Bowl. Neil O'Donnell, Super Bowls.
You know what it is for me? I look at Rodgers and Mahomes as if I had to say, who are the two best you've ever seen? Forget about everything else. Just like your eyeballs say, those two guys. I'd say Rodgers and Mahomes.
See, but you'll say that, but then I could ask somebody else, and they say
Marino
Machine
and
Gun Kelly was ridiculous as Marino.
But you're saying Rodgers and Mahomes are in that category with Dan Marino, right? And Dan
Marino's
that one name that makes you go, whoa.
Sure. Yeah.
So you have two of those names with Justin Herbert has the potential to be in that category as well.
Or at least the Jim Kelly category, right?
Well, what
at bare minimum, right?
Well, I don't know. Kelly was
not bare minimum.
Yeah, wait a minute. First of all, I'm saying bare minimum to do with the four damn Super Bowls.
No, he took it right back.
That's why I just said I take it back. I said I take it back.
Well, he took it right back.
But no, I'm saying think about what you said, though, Max.
Yeah.
In that division, those guys are good. But the division that I was in, the AFC East.
No, you make a case.
That was – I had to think about it. I'm like, wait a minute, man. That doesn't – Them it, dudes was sick, even though Neil O'Donnell didn't work out for the Jets.
Yeah.
He did lead a team to the Super Bowl in Pittsburgh.
It's recency bias because, like, you hear Neil O'Donnell now. Even Drew Bledsoe, you're like, okay, but when you hear
Young Bledsoe was Herbert.
That's what I'm saying, recency bias. Young Bledsoe was thought about the way we're thinking about Herbert now, who hasn't done anything yet, really. He hasn't, the team hasn't been to the playoffs, nothing.
And I'm sure I could probably – As we think about this throughout the day, I'm sure I could think of some division, you know, again, that will tell me, okay, these quarterbacks are in
the point division. Is you have to scour history to find a comparable thing.
I really wish you had a podcast back then so I can hear your thoughts every time you played against Marino or Bledsoe or all these guys.
Thing I remember, Marino was a fake spike. That was, you know, I was young. I was in college at the time. My teammate Aaron Glenn was a corner who's a defensive coordinator at the Detroit Lions right now, but he was a young, I think AG was either in his first or second year, and the fake spike was born. Mm. It was like timeout, clock, 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 and then all of a sudden Marino faked it, and AG wasn't looking, and bam, touchdown. And it's like, oh, God. And everybody started doing it since then.
You bring up podcasts. Tune in to the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. How important, guys, is tonight for Baker Mayfield's long-term future with the Browns? Oh, I don't know. Yeah, you guys brought it up. One dude's getting $18 million over 3 years. The other, Case Keenum. The other dude, Baker's looking for, what, $200 million? And he better be getting you better results. Here's ESPN Cleveland's Aaron Goldhammer.
Case looks as good or better than Baker in this offense. I think it will affect how those contract negotiations go, and it's going to light everybody. If Case has good chemistry with Odell and Odell plays, that is a total powder keg for our show.
Could you imagine? By the way, something's going to happen. Either Bridgewater is going to look good or bad in his future, depending on Aaron Rodgers, all that, and with the Broncos, it's a short week, or they're going to win with Case Keenum, and it's going to be a whole thing. Or they're going to lose, and Baker's going to look better, Key?
Yeah, this is gonna be an interesting watch tonight. Not only tonight, but just as we move forward, because the decision to pay Baker Mayfield, I'm never one to talk about a guy's money. I want him to get as much money as he possibly can get. Back up the Brink truck and give it to him. But I also know the reality of the National Football League. They are looking for value. They're not looking to pay you. They're looking to pay you less. That is the reality of it. And if Case Keenum goes out there and he does what he's capable of doing within Kevin Stefanski's offense, now you have a question mark on whether or not he's the guy in the short term to lead the team forward. Relatively young at the quarterback position. We're seeing him play late into their 40s now with Tom Brady, which is an outlier. But Case Keenum did lead the Minnesota Vikings in a backup role.
Had a great year.
To the playoffs. And familiarity will certainly make a coach feel good, Jay.
Max, how much do you think Denver is favored by tonight?
2.5 points.
They're not favored. They're not favored in this game. It's Cleveland. Cleveland is -2. Like, wait, what does that tell you? Like, Vegas, look, I love Vegas. I always say always paying attention to Vegas. But with all the injuries, all the people
Baker
out for Cleveland, that's the kind of stuff that starts to make you think now. It makes you think.
You know, let me tell you what this makes me think of. We talk about brands and all this and middle-class quarterbacks. I look at Case Keenum, the guy who replaced him, Kirk Cousins, who got paid, Baker Mayfield, who wants to get paid, and Teddy Bridgewater, who they're playing tonight, as all in the same basket, right? You can order them how you want, but they're all more or less in the same basket. They are professional, starting NFL quarterbacks. None of them are exactly who you want as your franchise quarterback, but you could win with them, maybe.
Yeah, all good pretzels.
Yeah.
They're all good pretzels.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, because there's a box where you got 4 or 5 guys, the Dak Prescott's of the world, obviously Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, I've said it before, healthy Russell Wilson's. Then there's another box where you got Kyler Murray and you got Lamar, kind of like in that, they're right there underneath
those
dudes.
Different kinds of quarterbacks.
Then you got another one that everybody else is in.
Yeah.
And you can pick and choose from all those other guys. Then you got the bottom feeders at the bottom, which is the Tua types that you're like, ah.
I would expand that first box and say they're probably 8 to 10 quarterbacks, if you include Kyler and Lamar,
special. They're special. That's why they got their own.
But what I'm saying
I wouldn't
is guys
them
you
underneath,
want.
Though, I would put them off to the
side. Off to the side.
Okay, here. I'm going to move it to the side.
But in terms of the number of quarterbacks that you say, these guys, you are good at quarterback. You are happy that's your franchise quarterback. Maybe 8 to 10 guys, probably something like that. And then you have the next group before you get to the replacement level guys.
No, I get it.
All the guys we just talked about are in that middle group somewhere.
Yeah.
Like you could bring up what Sam Darnold looks like with Carolina. He looks pretty good. Daniel Jones for stretches.
But they're
in that middle group somewhere.
No, they're in that box. One might be slightly a tick above.
Yeah.
One slightly a tick below. AFC East. Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning.
Oh.
Jim Kelly had retired. Drew Bledsoe.
Okay.
And there's one more. Oh, and Dan Marino.
Yeah, see, once you get Marino and Kelly, any iteration,
yeah,
any
Peyton
other
Manning,
combination
but
is going to be
Peyton other- Manning in 98, Vinny Testaverde, Danny Marino.
What year was Peyton drafted?
98.
But he wasn't any good
that's
yet.
When, that's when
no,
he
but still, though. I mean,
no, but I'm talking about
still,
level of play, not just brand name.
He was good. Yeah,
No, not as a rookie.
No, not as a, he threw picks, but I mean, he was good. He just had a lot of things going on around him. It wasn't a very good team.
I'm talking about level of quarterback play if Rodgers is on the Broncos. That, I really think, if it's not number one, it is in the discussion, but I think it's number one. Rodgers and Mahomes in the same division is even better to me than Marino and Kelly.
You're crazy.
I think it is.
Oh, God, I got to get up and go.
I don't, by the way, Marino, you could put in that. Who would you take between Marino, Mahomes, and Rodgers?
They're all the same.
Right. Okay, he's in that category. Jim Kelly, maybe not exactly.
The same.
No, you think Jim Kelly is the same as Patrick Mahomes?
He led a team
to four straight.
Four straight Super Bowls.
I'm not questioning Jim Kelly's greatness. I'm saying there are degrees of greatness.
Man, I can't. That right there, I don't know what else. I don't even know what to say there.
Yes.
That's just a first take argument coming because I can't help this.
Don't look at me. I got nothing for you. I'm leaving this one alone.
Wait, you rank the greatest basketball players, right?
No, this is key. He's an expert in NFL, not me. You ain't going to have me trending on Twitter. Hell no.
Why not? It's okay to trend on Twitter
for the
right
trying to rank
reasons.
The greatest quarterbacks. Hell no. That's key. Go ahead, Key.
I'll rank the greatest quarterbacks
go
in my opinion.
No, it's his opinion. It's fine. But all I'm saying is when you got a two – that go to four straight, not four. I'm talking about straight.
Four straight.
Whether you win, lose, whatever the case may be, Norwood, field goal missed, all that, yeah. Giants win. Yay.
Yeah.
I get that. But when you go to four, I mean, come on, man.
Do you think, it's early for Mahomes for you to put him in that bucket?
No, Mahomes, they're all the same.
What I'm saying is this.
I'm just asking.
Here's the difference between Mahomes and this is how I look at all athletes. I look at them how they did next to their contemporaries. That's it. So, like, as I said the other day, you can time. The one sport you measure objectively is track and field. We know all these dudes are faster than all those dudes in the past. But we don't – the 10th best sprinter in the world, we would never compare to Jesse Owens because he's getting dusted – or he's getting beaten by nine other dudes. Jesse Owens was beating everybody. So I just look at how you did in your time against
your contemporaries. So let me ask you this. So
Jim Kelly – well, let me just finish the thought real quick. Jim Kelly was never looked at as that is the number one dude in the game. Patrick Mahomes has been in the league 3 years.
I don't know that Jim Kelly was never looked at that way. I don't know.
Okay, if he was, I mean, I remember as a kid.
I was too much of a puppy.
Same, but I remember it wasn't like there was – Dan Marino was different, right, and in terms of his talent. Joe Montana won the most. That was usually the argument. Patrick Mahomes, since he started full-time in his second season, has been in every argument for best player in the game. So I think that
but that's
he
a,
in his
that's
time,
a media-driven narrative and people just go with it. Look, man, when you start talking about them, it's almost like me saying to you, would you rather have Patrick Mahomes or Troy Aikman?
Patrick Mahomes.
See, I got to get up and go.
Patrick Mahomes,
I
by the way,
cannot.
Clearly Patrick Mahomes.
They're all the same. Max.
They're not all the
Troy,
same. They're so, all the so same? All the,
so Troy wait. Aikman is one of the greatest quarterbacks
sure.
to lace him up.
So are you saying, wait, so that argument
just because
means,
you put Patrick Mahomes above him because that's your taste and that's the Kool-Aid flavor you like.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't
but
mean
let's,
that.
I want to extend this to its logical conclusion.
It seems to me.
Yeah, it's no, I'm not saying it's illogical. I want to take it all the way to what the implications are. It seems to me you are saying that at a certain level of quarterbacking, you really can't get any better. There's a limit at which this is as well as someone can play quarterback, and that the great ones have all achieved the uppermost level, and after
Absolutely.
That, there's nothing higher.
You can okay. So here's what I'm gonna say to you, as
that's
a guy.
That's not the case in basketball.
Right. Not
you
the case
cannot. Look at statistics, because everybody's games and systems and all of those sort of things
different.
Are different.
Yeah.
Troy Aikman to the playmaker, line up on the outside edge of the numbers and run a skinny post, hit it at 12. Rhythm. Bam! I don't know that Patrick Mahomes can make that throw. Don't know that. Troy Aikman may not be able to make the blind throw. But does it mean that
courses
I would...
for courses is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. Courses for courses.
Do you okay. have yes. a greatest quarterback of all time, Key?
No, I don't have a greatest of anything okay. of all yeah. time. Because what have I always said about the greatest is I've enjoyed everybody.
Yeah,
because I can't put Michael Jordan ahead of LeBron James. I can't do it. And I can't put LeBron ahead of Michael or Kobe or Shaq ahead. Because when you talk about basketball, I start with one guy, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. 19 All-Stars, the championship, the number one guy in scoring. So you enjoy
not to mention UCLA.
All of it. Not to mention UCLA in high school here in
basically
Brooklyn.
Basically never lost a game.
Yes!
Come on.
But hold on.
History.
But sports is all about creating a hierarchy.
But how do
think,
you do that? That's the question. Is it about championships? Is it about raw talent? Because there's a lot of people that have the raw talent that don't have the accumulation of championships. But people like to say, hey, you won six championships, so you're the best of all time. Or is that you're the greatest winner of all time in that sport?
I can't do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Time.
There's different degrees, and I think they've been parsed that way more so now.
I think that championships in sports where the best team wins, which is not always baseball, sometimes not football.
You know, that's one thing.
Championships in basketball, best team usually wins.
You know who had the best arm talent to ever play the game?
Dan Marino.
No.
Who?
Jeff George.
Jeff George is up there for sure. Pure
Jeff
arm talent. Yeah.
Yeah, so you see how I did that?
Or arm strength or arm talent?
Talent, strength, whatever you want to call it.
But I mean, I think talent is also catchable ball, precision,
whatever
everything.
Whatever you want to call it. But guess how many games he won?
Yeah.
Right?
Not as many as Tom Brady, for example. Yeah. All right.
Jay Cutler, arm talent.
Two elite athletes.
Y'all got that.
On whom we keep moving the goalposts. We'll tell you who they are next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.